Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from Northeast Jefferson County, Kansas. Your one true voice in Kansas. This is Radio Free Kansas.
Harry Roy and his Bat Boy Orchestra in England in 1933 were delving a little bit into swing there from that clarinet.
Yeah, sounds like it.
There was a shift there, and we're joined by our favorite guest on Monday, the Line Ball Sisters, Kay and Sandra. And swing was a big deal, wasn't it? When it came from Glenn Miller, then it went.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of transition. I didn't really understand it, but there's a difference. There's a real difference, and I think I was looking at my records. It's actually 1939. It's called Can't Black Out the Moon, and I think it's a reference to the blackouts they had in England, because Harry Roy's from England, his band is. So maybe they were going through the war.
Yeah, during the war.
Yeah, and I think that made it a famous.
Did we ever have those, Sandra? Blackouts?
What?
Blackouts.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Right after the bombing, when the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor, we had them for a while.
Yeah.
I know the West Coast. I know that, yeah, the blackouts, and there were. But this was, they named it. It was a popular song in England, and on the radio, and Can't Black Out the Moon by Harry Roy and his Bat Boy Orchestra, which is sort of a joke of a name. His real name, I'll have to look it up. I'll look up his real name while you guys. So what do you guys want to
talk
about?
I always liked
sports?
Glenn Miller anyway. I thought.
Oh, Glenn Miller and Lawrence Welk.
Well, Lawrence Welk, I never. But Glenn Miller and there was another band with him that.
Well, you know, didn't Lawrence Welk have a Saturday evening show program?
Oh, yes.
Of course. He still does.
Yes.
He's dead, and he still does. And by the way, Kay,
yes,
it's produced out of Oklahoma.
Oh, well, good for that.
Did you know?
Whoever they
did
are.
Did you know that?
No, you know, it's amazing how many. Well, of course, mostly country western people are from Oklahoma.
Right.
You know, the country western singers. There's a lot of them from Oklahoma. You know that gal that does the Sunday night football? She's from Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yes, from a little bitty town. Dale and I went down there one time because they have an Amish store in this town. And he loved some of that Amish candy, which he didn't need. So we drive down to Chakota, I think is the name of the town. And we drive down there and go to this Amish store. And they built furniture. You know, they just did everything at that Amish store. Had beautiful furniture.
Right.
And of course, it was
right.
All handmade.
Yeah.
It was all handmade because they don't believe in power tools. Or they didn't at one time.
I don't know if they do now or not. I doubt it. But
I don't either. Things do change.
Oh, desperately.
Yes.
Fast, before we even know it.
I know. And some of them aren't good.
That's a no lie.
So did you all make it through Christmas?
Made it through Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, me too. And I've been working hard this morning. I've got my Christmas decorations mostly all put away.
Oh, well, good for you. I just have my tree that I have to fold up and put in a box.
Well, I've got mine down, and I left up my porch, my wreath and stuff on the porch. I thought, well, I'll leave. And my angel in the window, I left all that up. I thought, well, I'll leave that up until after New Year's.
I got poinsettias out in my flower pot out front, and the wind keeps blowing them out.
Oh, I've got those out there, too. But I thought, well, I'll leave those because I'm tired.
Over and chasing down the poinsettias and putting them back in the pot. So.
Oh, my gosh. Are you having that kind of wind?
We did there for a while, yeah.
Oh.
Today it's nice and calm.
Yeah, we don't have much today. And Christmas Day was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was too. But it's still cool here.
Oh,
it's
well,
cool.
No, it wasn't all that cool. But it was so amusing. I went out to Craig and Vicky's, of course, for Christmas. And I drove up, and their dog came to meet me. She met me.
Oh.
But she didn't come to the out in the driveway. She stood on the grass.
Oh,
but
really?
But she stood there, and she kept turning around like, come on. We go this way. So I followed her, and she took me to the back door.
Oh, really?
Yes, because that's where she goes in, see?
Right.
She goes in the back door, so she took me around there, and we went in.
Well,
and she was so funny. She, of course, you know, she's still a puppy, but Whitney always has a blanket over her. She's always cold. And she was sitting on the floor, and she had this blanket in her lap, and that dog would go over and lay in that blanket on
oh,
her
really?
Lap. It was so funny.
She knew or he knew where she belonged.
Yes, it's a
in
she.
That blanket.
Yeah. Yep. She about when she got her toys. Of course, I tell you, they give the dog gets toys for Christmas. And she'd get a new toy, and boy, she would go nuts playing with this new toy. And then they'd open up another one for her. Oh, she'd put that one down and go play with the new one.
Lord.
She got new. She got Christmas toys for sure.
Well, it's
she's
been
like
a long
baby.
Time since Greg had a dog.
Well, you know they do that for Daisy, the older granddaughter.
Right.
I always get a package for Daisy. So I got treats and a water bottle and things for Daisy.
Lord.
Wait a minute. Daisy got a water bottle?
Uh-huh. It's a special dog water bottle.
Oh.
I always just used a plastic bottle, you know, in the summertime to carry her water in.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah.
But see, they gave me a water, a little cooler, or it's a bag I put over my shoulder, and it keeps the water cold. It's a
right,
you know, little pocket thing. Well, I've got one of those for her water.
Do you ever use it?
Yeah, oh, in the summertime I do, yeah. Because I just used a plastic bottle to put her water in, see?
Right.
But now I've got this new one. I don't know if it's supposed to keep it cold or not. I haven't even figured out how it works.
Oh. You have to figure it out, Lord.
Yes, and I hope there's instructions in the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing's simple. Everything has to be secure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't sat down and figured it out, but I don't need it for a while anyway, because it's certainly not going to be warm enough to. And we don't go on very long walks anymore.
Right, right.
Because her legs just
give out. They give out.
Yeah. Now today we did. We went on a fairly long walk.
Huh.
I don't know what the deal was, but she wanted to keep going, so I kept following her.
Maybe her legs had rested for a while, so.
Maybe so, yeah, could have been. But anyway, we went for a little, not a long walk, but a little longer than we have been.
Mm. Well, maybe she was happy the holidays were getting over with.
Well, maybe so. Wanting things to get back to normal.
Yeah, that ever happens.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. Yeah, boy, howdy. Everybody,
well, normal
that,
isn't our normal.
Whatever
what
that's going
used
to be.
I know. Have you got your vaccine yet?
No.
Hell no.
I think February they were saying for this area we might be able to get it.
Oh, okay. Well, they're giving them. I see Iola's giving them to the people.
Oh, they are?
Yes, at the hospital. Huh. They've got them at the hospital. And all the hospital people, you know, the workers were getting their vaccine, and of course they are down here too.
Well,
are they giving
them
to the nursing homes there?
I think so. Yes. In fact, they were showing that on the news this morning, where they were giving them to the nursing homes. They showed a lady getting her shot.
That's great.
Yeah, they're giving them down here. But
I heard if they're giving them up around Leavenworth here, I'm sure they are somewhere.
Yeah, I thought maybe I was coming down with it. Well, Christmas
Day,
I wore a mask because I got this cough and my throat was full, and I thought, oh my God, I've come down with COVID. So
I've had that all winter.
And I told them I would wear a mask. Well, I decided it's allergies because my air cleaner thing quit working.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I think it's my allergies because, I'd started using some allergy sprays up in my head, and it kind of cleared up. So I thought, okay, it's just allergies. But I was going to go get tested.
Yeah.
Have you ever been tested?
No, uh-uh.
Have you
not? Marsheila gets tested every week.
Who does?
Marsheila.
Oh, wow.
At Walmart, they test them every week.
Well, I can imagine, yeah, because there's so many. They're in contact with so many people.
Yeah, well, now she's been working back in the warehouse.
Oh, well, that's good.
Shipments and stuff, but.
Of course, she's got other workers there.
Oh, yeah, but they all have to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, I'd hope so. You know, I think that's why this just isn't, why it's not becoming, it's not getting under control in Oklahoma, because so many people do not wear masks.
Well, now they got another string of it.
I know, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, over in England.
Yeah.
And they're asking, will this the vaccination we're getting, will it work on the new string? So
have they decided, or do they not know?
No.
They don't know.
Yes,
well,
sure. They have. Well, there's a number of epidemiologists and public health officials that are saying that the tests done the vaccine seems to be effective on this strain. But, you know, we're building the airplane while it flies. And this is
I think so.
And it's a new disease to the human species. I mean, let's face it, and it has been. And that's why we shouldn't let our guard down, you know, really, in my opinion. You know, I mean,
well, you know,
there
in Burlington, wasn't that nursing home in Burlington? Didn't it have a whole mess of people in?
Yes, that's where
died.
The largest number of Coffee County cases came from.
Right, right. So they'll probably be getting the shots at that nursing home.
Yeah, surely. Of course, I think most nursing homes are on the, well, they're right after the healthcare workers, aren't they?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah. But, well, you know, those people live in such close quarters.
Right. Now, my friend Kate, they got her into an assisted living place. So I don't know if that assisted living comes under or after nursing homes or what.
I don't know either. Have no clue. Of course, assisted living, you live more on your own, don't you, in assisted living?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't live among everybody else.
Right. She said there's 11 people that's in this where she's at, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I think sometimes I've become
a
hermit.
But they don't let anybody in to visit anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I don't even, I asked her the other day, I was talking to her on the phone, I said, can you get mail? She said, I don't know. I haven't been here long enough to get any mail.
Oh, goodness.
I said, well, ask them.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you have to go through address change, I suppose.
Well, I would know the address, but I'm still saying, you know, people would know her address, I think.
Yeah, and they would forward her mail, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
From her old address?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Maybe.
But she's keeping that one because she's not moving out to make sure she can go back home.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
She's sort of in like a rehab thing program.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she can. All she's got to do is she can fill out her forwarding mail address from where she's at.
For a limited time,
can't she? Well, it's like, my goodness, 90 days, and you renew it, it'll go for another 90 days. It's a form.
True. True.
Very simple form. And, it's not like this is the first problem that the United States Postal Service suffered since Ben Franklin started.
I'm sure her kids will do that for her, though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my.
And by the way, also, sometimes you'll get a return. Like, say I send out my magazine, my mailings, and I when I send out these mass mailings of like 250 people, it'll pop back. It'll come back to my mailbox, and it'll have the address on it. For people who fill out those forms, the forwarding address form, it will come back, and it'll tell me the new address. So I correct my subscriber list, the people who subscribe, I correct it, and it works because it doesn't come back. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you're hoping it's working.
Yeah, somebody at that new address is getting the mail. I'm real happy that a lot of people write me back about when they change their address. Yeah, I mean, it's really the new issue I'm sending out is today. Actually, I'm sending out a new issue. They're not issues; they're mailings because you know they're irregular. I'm trying to make a magazine, but, you know, it's like it takes a while to get everything together. So I just mail them out. You know, you might get one once a month, maybe once every 2 months, you know. And I'm learning that stuff about the post office system. It's really a wonderful, incredible system.
It sounds like it.
It's all mail. I don't do any internet. I don't release anything on the internet.
They probably appreciate that. The Postal Service probably appreciates that.
The people at Mortonville. And my local
I got a letter the
sometimes.
Other day. Somebody trying to collect unemployment insurance on my name.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of that going around. And I want to give listeners a heads up. Because we have some new people who listen to our show who are, well, they're not new. But they've applied as recently unemployed. And I have one report of a woman in Lawrence who filed for her unemployment, and she deserves it. And and she's a freelance writer. And somebody in North Carolina was collecting her benefits.
Oh,
she hadn't even been on unemployment.
So, Sandra, what did you do? What did you do when you got that letter?
Well, Sheila came over here and she called them and told them, you know, that she said, my mother's 84. She hasn't worked for years and years, and she has no they said, yeah, we found that out.
Oh, okay.
They said they had a lot of this going around. It's a, you know, a scam.
Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah.
I tell you, these phone calls, I get so upset with all these phone calls.
I know. I don't even answer them.
I don't either.
Well, speaking of which, you guys never call my number, my home number, and that's okay. But
I do too, but you never answer.
Well, what have you heard? Have you heard my most recent answer to the people? You know, people who call me that I don't know. On my, thank goodness we have caller ID. We can look at it.
Right.
Tell my phone will say spam risk on some numbers. It'll actually say this is probably spam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
Some
of mine do, but most of them don't.
No, mine don't.
No, right. And what's terrible, some of them are local. They look like local numbers.
Yeah.
I know.
Mine
do too.
That really
throws
me off.
And I dial the right
back, you know?
And they say, this number is no longer in service.
I know.
Called me.
Isn't that sneaky? Isn't that sneaky?
It is.
Yeah.
It
I mean, that's sneaky. Those crooks are everywhere. They're crooks. That's all they are.
Yeah,
crooks.
That's what they are. Yeah.
Hey,
and they ought to be behind bars, but of course our jails couldn't hold all of them.
No. Well, we could let.
First of all, they'd have to create a law about it first.
And if you went to the Kansas legislature, the Oklahoma legislature, and really look what they're doing up there, you might be appalled because you'll go cross-eyed trying to figure out what are they doing. You know, what are they doing over there? Hey, look, give me a minute. Give me 2 minutes of your time, and this is what's on my answering machine when these people call. Okay.
Okay.
Two or 3 minutes. Are you ready? And I'll
ready.
Give you 2 or 3 minutes. Yeah.
The Alka-Seltzer Show, transcribed in Hollywood, featuring radio's favorite singing stars, Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton, with the music of Country Warner.
It's Alka-Seltzer time, Alka-Seltzer time.
Isn't that the truth?
That's on my answering machine, on my phone. No kidding. Anybody that calls, Listen, it's just crazy. I mean, I thought it was. I found those there in the public. There's no copyright protection on them, so I found them, and I've got like 7 of them. I only put one up and leave it on, but it's Alka-Seltzer time. You know, I'm trying to
or the
people that want money and con me out of money. It's like, well, it's Alka-Seltzer time. You know, you're not going to get anything out of me. And you know what?
That's good.
It works. It works because
does it?
Nobody leaves a message.
Oh, well, they don't anyway.
Right.
And if you go to answer it, they never answer you.
Okay, back in the old days. Back in the old days, we never had people that, I guess they weren't smart enough because they never had all this stuff that they had to be smart about, but nobody did that kind of stuff, you know?
Heavens, no. I tell you,
the worst thing we did was when we were on a party line was living in on the other line.
That's right. That's the only bad thing. And we did that at Margaret's.
Right. So she had a party line. I think
she had
on
a party line.
Did she have 3 lines or what? I don't remember,
but I think it was 3, maybe. But,
yeah, because
you know, her and 2 others.
You get a ring for how,
yeah,
you know, if it was
rang.
You, they'd give you 2 rings, if it, you know,
uh-huh.
whatever hers was, so.
Yeah. We couldn't have one like that at home because
we had
business
to take orders
call.
For
Yeah,
oh,
well,
I know. Oh,
stuff.
You guys were such hoity-toity. You had businesses.
Yeah, we were.
Business.
Yes,
you were.
You
raised your pinkies when you drank tea, but I mean, and that's okay. It's understandable. But here's the question for now: we're talking about listeners. We're talking about history from Leroy, Kansas. Crank telephones. That's right. You crank.
Yeah.
More like
yeah,
army
crank.
Field phones almost. And they had a locally owned telephone company. That's right.
Right.
Who was here's a magic question. You don't have to be current, and you don't have to go through all of them. But can you remember the name of any of the operators?
Mrs. Farmer.
See, all right. My case is closed.
And the Mitchells,
right,
the Mitchells that owned
Mitchell,
the phone company.
It.
They owned the phone.
They were
number.
The daytime, Mrs. Farmer was the nighttime operator.
Oh, was she? Okay, I didn't remember that.
I did not know. Well, it makes sense. I mean, my God, they can't sit there all day running a switchboard, listeners. That's unplugging and plugging a pin into a switchboard. I know that I used to just be able to pick up the phone at 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age, maybe younger. I know I could pick it up and say, would you give me Grandma Almeida? And whoever the operator was would know who
sure.
I was calling for.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's all we had to do.
Right.
We could even say who we were and say, I need to talk to Mom.
Yeah.
Plug you into Mom. See, that's when we looked after one another. You know, we took care of one another.
Well,
yeah.
It's called community. Yeah, it's called
yeah,
community.
Right. Yeah,
even, even though
was.
People, now you have to confess. Now, listen, you already confessed, you and Sandra, to listening to the
yeah.
party line
oh.
at Margaret Bradley's. Now, listen, that right there is a some people would consider that gossip.
Invasion of privacy.
You're just listening for gossip.
Yeah, an invasion of privacy.
Well, it's sort of an invasion of privacy, but really, come on, be honest. You were hearing things, and you say, oh, I can't wait to go back to class and tell all my friends what I heard about Miss Marmalade, you know. It's sort of a gossipy thing. I confess. Am I right or wrong?
It was, but I really don't even remember what the conversations were about or what we did with it.
Didn't they have a ring, Kay, that if they rang it, everybody would pick up? If they heard the ring, it was something like an emergency ring or something.
Well,
I don't know. We always had the we had the whistle. The noon whistle would blow in case of
noon
an emergency.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is not a whistle.
Right.
It's a siren on the water
the
tower.
Siren,
the water tower.
It always went off at noon. We knew when it was dinner time.
Right.
You know, I sort of like that. You know, I sort of miss that. And they were doing that in Nortonville near me, and I could. One of the reasons I moved up here was because it reminded me so much of my hometown, and they had a noon siren, and I don't know if they still do that, but I used it when I first moved here. I'm 4 miles away, and I could go out in the yard, and I could hear that siren way off in the distance. I go, it's like Leroy, you know, to me, it's like, oh, that reminds, you know. I don't know if they still do that. I don't think they do.
I wonder if they do it in Leroy.
Yeah, I wonder if they do that in Leroy. Well, if Bill Otto was here, we could ask him.
Yeah.
Well,
but they don't have do they even have a phone office in Leroy? I'm sure they don't.
Good question.
Oh, yeah.
Good question.
Cause who set that whistle off? The fire department or who?
Another good question. I don't know.
I think it was the operator.
The
she would be
operator?
The only one that would be working at noon.
Yeah.
Where she had access to the siren.
Yeah, that's probably
true. Did you just
say
that was the, wait a minute. Sandra, did you just say that was the only person working at noon?
Yeah. That had access. Now listen to the rest. That had access to the siren.
Yeah, but we didn't have firemen living at the fire station.
No, they were all volunteers.
Okay.
And whenever the fire whistle went off, everybody got out of bed or wherever they were at and went to the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'll never forget when Holmes's barn caught on fire. I think of that periodically.
Who?
Holmes's barn.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, that was. That was horrible. Because, you know,
was
I have this show.
Was that in town or outside of town, Holmes Barn?
It was outside of town, about a mile.
Was it? We're not very far. You know where the old football field was, Mike?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
the new football field.
North.
You know where the Whitterman place was there on the corner?
Well, I'm a little gray on that. I remember.
We lived there for a while once.
Well,
we just a baby.
The football field is, Whitterman's were a little bit north and east of the football, or west of the football field, right?
Right.
Yeah, west. It happened.
And then
Holmes's
were on west of that.
Yeah. There was a road
right
there.
All right.
It curved around, went up to Margaret Bradley's. And
yeah, and Holmes's.
Oh,
okay. Holmes's would be
for
Margaret Bradley.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the alfalfa mill.
Oh, yeah, the alfalfa mill was off to the south there.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the alfalfa mill.
Yeah.
Now, what was so tragic about the Holmes barn?
They had horses in the barn and pigs. Well, that's what started the fire was baby pigs.
Mm-hmm.
They had a heater. They had a light to keep the baby pigs warm, and they knocked it down and caught hay on fire. And that's what started the fire. And the horses were burning. They were jumping out with their heads on fire.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible. Yeah.
It was,
I know.
It was so upsetting because I rode those horses a lot.
Oh, I know. I did too.
That was our Saturday activity sometimes, go out and in the pasture and get the horses and saddle them up and ride all over town.
Right.
Trixie and Queenie were their names.
Yeah, right.
It's
Trixie
a reason.
Was a little black one, wasn't she?
Queenie was the black one.
Oh, okay.
Trixie was the pinto.
Okay.
Yeah, I have this program I watch on TV. It's called Heartland.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And that's what it's about, a family that has horses. And
yeah.
It's on three times a day. So needless to say, I get way behind. I record it. And you know what I like about it? There's no advertisements. No advertisements.
Oh, good. That would be good.
Yes.
I'll have to look that up.
But it's in Canada. That's where it's produced. It's in Canada.
Ah, okay.
It's a Provo, Utah station.
Mm.
So I thought, well, I guess they don't need money, those stations. They don't have advertising.
Well,
so that makes the program 43 minutes long.
Right.
So there's no advertisement.
The Canadians are similar to the British. I mean, they subsidize. They don't pay for it all by any means, but they give money to the news people and to film producers in Canada. They don't have it easy, but they have a fair chance at getting financing to the Canadian Film Board to make local movies. So it's very interesting. Canada's interesting. I won't say the S word. I will not say the S word, but you know that's part of the deal, along with healthcare. But honestly, that is a great story. It's a tragic story about Holmes Barn. Really,
yeah. That
and
was
what,
sad.
And what it meant to you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see how that would make an impression. You could literally walk. It wasn't that far from
the
football field.
We did. That's how we went out there.
We'd walk out there.
didn't I could you ask Homer, would you please give us a ride?
We walked. And see, we lived clear over, not clear, but we lived on the east side of town. And so, but, you know, it was
where
a long walk, but we did it.
I remember, I know where you were at, yeah.
Well,
still, well
we lived in that house, too, Mike.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to point out that people back then didn't need even a bicycle. They would just walk. You know, they would go to places and especially kids. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah,
especially kids.
We didn't even have to ask permission. Probably we just did it.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, we were older. We weren't real little kids when we were riding horses. You know, we weren't babies.
Right, they would get on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the horses pretty? Were they pretty tame? They didn't talk to you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
they
were
no, kids. Because Holmes has had four kids.
Four. They had four.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we just. I remember one time I was on Trixie, the pinto, and she was running wild. And I was about to fall off. And Glenn Farmer came up beside of me. He had a pickup. And he came up beside of me. He thought if I fell, I'd fall into his pickup.
Oh, God.
But I got control. I didn't fall.
I can't believe. Do you know how many lawsuits that would cause nowadays? I mean, it was like, well, she fell off the horse. That means you're going to sue Mr. Holmes. And then she fell into my pickup and broke her arm. That means you're going to sue the auto insurance company. And then she fell out of the truck onto the county road. That means you're going to sue the county.
Yeah, that's probably
true.
So you
got three lawsuits there. Rather than just work it out and say, well, I just pulled up beside her and the horse slowed down, you know.
Yeah.
Well, back in those days, you could ride in the back of a pickup.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that now.
Right.
Now, you can in Oklahoma.
Okay.
They can, yeah. Oh, yeah, they still do down here.
Oh, that doesn't mean it's legal.
Well, that's true. But they do. They do ride in the back of
pickup. I got news for you. I got news for you right up here in Jefferson County, North Jefferson County. You can do that, too. If a cop sees you, you might get a ticket. If you're speeding, throwing beer cans out of the truck, you know, things like that will get you a ticket, you know.
Yeah, I would think so.
But yeah, you can still do it, you know. It's just sort of it's interesting.
Well, they did make that a law in Kansas. It was illegal to ride in the back of a pickup.
Yeah, I know. That's
I know.
Crazy. It is crazy.
You know, it always kind of worries me though when I see a dog in the back of a pickup.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because I always think, what if that dog would jump out? And it did happen one time right in front of me. But the dog jumped out to the side of the pickup, of course, not to the back, which was fortunate. And, of course, I stopped immediately because I didn't know where that dog was going to go.
Right.
But evidently the people that were driving the truck were watching it because they stopped and got out and got the dog back in. But that was scary.
I know. When I see dogs in the back of a truck, I think, oh, God, I hope they don't jump out.
I know. That's always my first thought, too. So.
But usually when dogs are doing that, they are used to doing that, and that's where they like to ride is back there. So.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that's true, yeah. But we don't know that.
No, I know. Yeah, that's true.
So, but you know, that was something we would never have thought of doing. Of course, we didn't have pickups.
Does Greg let his dog ride in his truck?
Oh yes, but in the truck, not in the back.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant. In the truck.
And she rides in the back seat. Yes. Uh-huh. If they're not holding her, she's such a baby.
Oh.
In fact, when they came by yesterday, they said, "Well, we're taking Belle to the park."
Oh, God.
Oh. My neighbor does that. She takes her dog to the dog park.
Oh, I'm in pain. I'm in pain just listening to that. Does Greg plan on hunting that dog?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's a bird dog.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
It's an English setter is what it is.
Yes. Yes. I remember you telling me that earlier, and I thought, well, I hope he's going to use that dog to hunt.
Oh, well, sure, but you know what? The very best bird dog we ever had was a house dog, because that was the very first one.
Well, ours was, too. We had, Bob's dog. We had another one that we had. God, what was its name?
Speckles.
Yes, yes.
His name was Speckles.
Right, right. And he was a good hunting dog. Good hunting dog.
Well, yeah.
I can't say we ever had a bad hunting dog.
It was a Brittany,
no.
Huh?
No.
That's what our first one was a Brittany.
Yeah, Speckles was a Brittany. I think he came from you and Dale, I think. Yeah, I don't know where he came from, but.
Who?
Speckles came from, I thought he, I was led to believe he came from Dale and Kay. I don't know where he came from.
Oh, I don't think so. We never bred any.
Well, he was a Brittany. He was a Brittany.
Yeah, well, of course, ours was a Brittany, but Dale always had him, he always had him fixed right away.
I think it was Bob's dog, because when we had Bob, we got Bob's dog.
Oh, that could have been.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
See, I think ours was Frisky was the name of our first one.
Yeah, well,
yes,
I've got to tell you the story about one of the pointers that Dale had.
Okay, but I remember Frisky. Tell me a Frisky story. I like her.
Yeah, because she was so little when we got her. Greg was only about 4 or 5 years old, and he could put her in his pocket. She was that little.
Oh, my.
So she was close to us. We kept her close. But she was the best bird dog ever. But I got to tell you the story of the first pointer that Dale ever got. There was a lawyer there in Iola, his dog had these pointer pups. So he brought one out to give to Dale, and he said, "Now I'll give you this dog on one condition that you don't." The lawyer's name was Fred. He said, "You don't name it Fred." And I said, "Okay, we'll call it Barney." So that's what we called the dog, was Barney. You know, the show, wasn't there a Fred and Barney show on TV?
I think so.
I think, yeah, the Flintstones. I think the Flintstones.
Flintstones, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, there's Barney Fife from Andy Griffith.
But I was thinking
from
of Fred
Mayberry.
And Barney on Flintstones when I told him that.
Yeah, well, I think that's a... Well, was Barney okay as a pointer?
He was so great to honor Frisky. You know, Frisky would be pointing something, and Barney would stand with his tail out, straight out, you know, honoring her. So we knew there were birds there. That's when I started hunting, because I love to watch the dogs work.
Oh, me too. That's what I love to do, is watch them when they found a flock of birds. Why?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like
to
watch the dogs.
They're absolutely beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful watching them. And a lot of listeners don't understand what we're talking about in terms of bird dogs. When you quail hunt, listeners, when you quail hunt, you walk hedgerows. I remember that. Or you walk out into a field of tall grass, a lot of tall grass. And the dogs will actually hunt ahead of you. And the magic is that the dogs are, I don't know, if they must be trained somehow.
Well, sure.
Well, I don't know, but I know this, that the dogs would actually stop, and instead of just running into the bunch of covey, a nest of huddled birds, they would actually point or stop, and that would be a signal to the hunters it's a quiet signal. It's not like they bark and carry on. Quietly let the hunters know. There's a group of birds ahead, and they're right this direction. And a pointer was really sort of like a rare wine in Leroy, because it's like nobody had pointers. And if they did have pointers, the pointers didn't do what they're supposed to do. And but the pointer would actually almost assume a pose. They would point their tails and raise one of their feet.
Uh-huh.
As a signal, and it's an amazing thing to watch. It really
is.
It really is.
Yeah. That's what made hunting interesting.
Right. I love to watch dogs hunt.
Yeah. That, I don't know. Of course, Greg went hunting this. He went to Western Kansas, but they were hunting deer, I guess. But he said nobody has a bird dog anymore. None of his hunting buddies. Don't have bird dogs.
Why not?
Greg got one. I don't know. Greg got one.
Well, it does take patience. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's intuitive. I don't think some of it's instinctual, maybe the nose. But I do think you've got to sort of train him. Yeah,
well, Max
used to
take a sock and put quail feathers in it, and that's how he trained him.
Uh-huh. Yep. Now, you have to train them. Well, that's probably why Greg didn't do this until he retired.
Right.
Because he'll have time to train the dog. But he's had bird dogs before, but they were usually older dogs when he got them.
Already trained.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, or not trained. That's the thing. Some of them are not trained, and that's the problem.
Well, that's true.
Once they get older. Once they get older, as you all know, and I do, we get set in our ways. I think it's
yeah,
sort of that
tell
way.
Tell me about it.
I think that's sort of the way it is with dogs, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you an example. I'm sure Sandra doesn't want to hear this, but that's probably why I'm telling you this story. I'll be very quick. Speckles,
what?
That was his name. That was his name, the dog. He was a Brittany Spaniel. He was a wonderful dog, very high strung. Frisky, that Kay talked about earlier, was very high strung. They wanted to play. They wanted to go out. They wanted to hunt. And Speckles, he would get the desire to hunt so badly that we were cruel kids. Children are cruel, very cruel. And I would, and we would set and throw sand. Just we'd throw a rock and he'd catch it in his mouth. And
oh.
He'd be like, hey, aren't you happy? Then we'd throw sand thinking, well, he can't catch all the sand, but he'd still try to catch the sand. He wanted to fetch. He wanted to go and get something and bring it back and be rewarded.
Sure.
And then one cruel 4th of July, we started throwing firecrackers.
Oh, my.
Yes. And he'd pick it up and spit it out before it exploded.
Wow.
And he did it, and I thought, this is crazy. This is terrible. And then and then Speckles would go out and hunt, and sometimes, now this is the genius of bird dogs that I didn't appreciate. As a cruel young boy. But when I saw it, I believed it. I thought, this really happened. Speckles would run out ahead of us and would make Max, my father, very upset because he would go way, way too far. But several days, not just once, Speck would get way out there and he would get ahead of the covey and he would hold that covey.
Sure.
Make that group of birds stay there in fear, okay?
Yeah.
And we would walk 100 yards. We'd walk 100 yards. We didn't know where my father would get so mad at Speckles. He said, "Where is that damn dog?" You know, and we'd walk up and there is Speckles holding this covey for he probably held it for like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes before we even got there.
Sure.
You know, and then he would break the covey up, and we'd get to use our guns. But
uh-huh.
I mean, that's an incredible. I mean, that's a.
Yeah.
He would run way ahead and move.
Had a good
he
nose.
If he couldn't freeze the covey, he would run them back to us. He would run back and bring the quail to us. I mean, so we underestimated Speckles. We thought he just wanted to go run and get things, you know, and bring them back to us. And we were.
Yeah, this Frisky, of course, we lived in town when we had Frisky. We lived in a house with a 50-foot lot. But, you know, we didn't have a pen for her. She just, you know, we let her out in the yard, and she'd do her job. But she would go over to the neighbors and lay on their porch. And, you know, then we didn't have to contain our animals.
I know. We never did any of our dogs when we were kids at home. They just roamed the town.
Heavens no. We never had to put our dogs in a pen or anything like that.
Or tie them up or anything.
No, no. They got to live, you know.
Right.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah. I don't think dogs are as they don't communicate as well when they live in pens.
No,
you know,
they don't.
They just don't. They're not as attached to you when they live out in a pen.
True. I think that's true.
Yeah, because I think you become attached to them and they become attached to you. I know I am right now.
Well,
it's almost hooked at the hip.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something about what people? And do you think animals feel social obligations?
Oh, I don't know.
That's sort of a highfalutin question, but I mean.
Yeah, have no clue.
You know, do you feel animals feel an obligation to help?
Yes.
Well, to get
the
food
master
and
to help.
To have their needs, they need to. Yeah, they need to. You know, they have to depend on you for their food and water.
Mine come and tell me.
But can it transcend that? Can it transcend to?
Oh yes, they can.
Where they can help you understand what your needs are.
Oh well, I don't know about that.
That's something.
Haven't lived in that kind of situation.
It's a philosophical question because obviously, you may remember Alice Weaver. I don't know her name.
Yeah, they raised Newfoundlands, didn't they?
Yes.
And
she
provided me with newspaper clippings. I was a young guy. I didn't know. I didn't appreciate what she was showing me. You know, young people are that way. Newspaper clippings of Newfoundland dogs that she'd raised that rescued humans out of a burning house.
Oh sure.
Oh yeah. That's
I wonder. That's what I mean about social obligations. Like, I hate to sound like a replay of Lassie, you know, the TV show, but do you think animals feel a social obligation to protect, not just be a kill dog or attack intruders, but to warn them about a fire and help them get the alert?
Well, I don't know. I hope I never have to experience that.
Yeah.
I think dogs will warn you if something's wrong or not right in your house.
Well, see, when my doorbell rings, Daisy's always the first one there. She's always ahead of me at the door.
Right.
But that's more or less because she likes to be petted by the people that's at the door.
At the door.
Well, don't let the burglar know that.
Well,
let the burglar know that.
You know, I've often wondered how she would react if somebody tried to attack me. You know,
Now
she's so old, she probably couldn't do a thing. But,
bark, maybe bark.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't even bark. She's just so old, I keep thinking. Well, I watch to see if she's breathing.
Well, okay, you can't do that. I get mad at my wife all the time. No, not all the time, but, you know, no sooner than the dog gets older, and believe me, I've got a couple of them, like Daisy, and I call it wet nurse. We wet nurse, or we nurse the dogs, you know, we take care of them. We do. We want them to have as long a life as possible without a lot of pain and, you know, and therapy, yes. Chris walks this old guy out to the pasture with the other dogs every day, walks him out to the pasture and brings him back. And he's the better for it. I admit that he is he's a better dog because he gets to walk every day. And at 4 o'clock, it's like, where is she at? I'm ready to go. It's all I can do to get out of here. I want to go do this, you know.
Yeah.
And I begin thinking, you know, this thing about social obligations, dogs being more social in our understanding our needs and, you know, and, as well as we do and trying to help us in certain ways, you know. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, and as soon as Remus, that's the old dog in our house, starts going down, my wife, who I call my sweetheart, is going to bring another goddamn stray animal into the house. You know what I mean? Because she keeps trying to teach me this thing about animals have emotions.
Oh, they do, I think.
30 years.
Oh, yeah, they do,
I think you're right. 30 years ago, I was a callous man, and I just said, and I told her, I watched her, and I told her, I said, animals don't have emotions. Are you out of your mind? They're like livestock. You kill them, you eat them, they're just animals. She's proven to me that animals have emotions. After 30 years, I actually believe that animals are happy when we're happy, or they know when we're happy because they try to act happy. And I think they're
and they know when you need to rest. Anyway, I tell Daisy, I've got to go rest, and she walks away from me. Let's go rest.
I mean, it's weird. I mean, it's interesting, but true. I think after 30 years, I believe her that they do have emotions. Well, now you know what that means. The ramification. Now, I'm not going to get into a big thing, but I feel extremely guilty over 60,000 dead chickens at Thompson Poultry Farm. Every day we kill 60,000 chickens at the slaughterhouse. I think about those chickens screaming at me. All right, take it or leave it. Or at the pig plant in St. Louis I had to work at for a while, slaughtering pigs.
Yeah, you know, I think about these 4-H kids that raise these animals, you know, and then have to sell them at fairs. I think there's got to be attachment there.
Right, right, there is. I've known kids that they get real upset when they have to do that.
Yeah.
Some of them, you know.
Well, you know, I just, of course, I show that on the news, you know, when the kids are at the fair with their animals, and I think, gosh, I don't know how
they
can do that.
Yeah, they do it in our news. They do it in our newspaper, and I think, yeah, but that bull is going to get killed here.
I know.
Right.
And they know that.
I don't know.
The kids know that, you know, that have raised them. And that's got to be kind of heart-wrenching.
Well, yeah, I'm sure
I don't know.
It is.
Is that the hard part of life? I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't,
probably.
Yeah.
Because, you know, farmers raise. Well, you know, we had calves that out in gas, and, you know, we'd water them and feed them, and then we'd send them off to be butchered. And it was just something we did.
Well, Kay, remember when Dad had those pigs back in that back lot?
Yes.
And he was trying to load them up, and we were standing in the kitchen window crying.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Are you kidding me? That's cute. Are you serious?
No.
Oh, you haven't told me that story. Sandra, you haven't told me about that. I didn't know.
Well, a lot of things I haven't told you.
Well,
you know, the girls where I volunteered, they said, we hope you get back soon so we can hear your tales.
Well,
I guess these people all lived sheltered lives, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, they have.
They didn't experience anything.
Yes, we have. And it's not a bad thing, but it's best to understand this. It's best to understand this. It really. I had a friend today tell me on email, which is impersonal. Email is so impersonal. It's the whole thing. The technology is very impersonal.
It is.
That's why I mail out, I kill trees to make magazines and booklets and things. I mail them out. And he was saying to me, he said, well, you know, it's not like it was in the old days, and I've forgotten what it was like because all I do is just click, click, click. And I thought about that a lot, you know. I thought I'd leave that with you two sisters, you know, when I... with the show and the listeners, which we have a number of. I'm glad we do this show together.
Yeah, it's fun.
2021.
That's what I'm saying. We had the good old days, and we'll never have those. What we even had last year, we won't have that back ever again. But
I don't agree.
I don't agree. There's a lot of people that really understand what we're talking about. They really are. A lot of young
people.
But
are they living it?
Well, they can. Out here in Nortonville, in Jefferson County, people regularly can their food and stuff.
Oh,
yes. We're trying to pass the treasury. There's a treasury of, one person said it, and we have to go here. But one person said it best. It says, well, if the American empire is going to collapse now before the rush.
Okay.
But they're like, get ready. You know, why? Well, we already know how to can food, and, you know, we do not dare. Collapse now and avoid the rush. And I thought that was sort of interesting in today's holiday rush to run to Walmart or Best Buy.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, have a good New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to all of you, too. Right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Love
bye.
You, too. Thank you for the show.